Kulayama Lavenapi Naswargam Napunarbhavam Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Uthashisha. The moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabodhananda Saraswati, a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, has stated, Kaibalyam narakayate tridashpur akasha pushpayate. For a pure devotee, Kaivalya, merging into the existence of Brahman, the Brahman effulgence, is no better than living in hell. Similarly, he considers promotion to heavenly planets, tridashpur, just another kind of phantasmagoria. In other words, a pure devotee does not place much value in the destination of the karmis, the heavenly planets, or in the destination of the jnanis, merging into the Brahman effulgence. A pure devotee considers a moment's association with another pure devotee to be far superior to residing in a heavenly planet or merging in the Brahman effulgence. The topmost benediction for those who are living in this material world and are subject to the repetition of birth and death, transmigration, is association with pure devotees. One should search out such pure devotees and remain with them. That will make one completely happy. Even though living within the material world, this Krishna consciousness movement is started for that purpose. A person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. A moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. We are reading today from Canto 4, Chapter 30, entitled The Activities of the Prajetas, Text Number 34. This particular sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam is very often quoted by our great Vaishnav Acharyas. Because the basis, the foundation of one's spiritual future is so nicely revealed. Lord Chaitanya explained that if you want to make progress on the path of Dharma, the path of Bhakti, two things are most important. Asat Sangityaga Avaishnavachara. To give up the association of worldly-minded, materialistic people, and to associate with devotees. Rupa Goswami explains that without proper association of devotees, it is not possible. It is simply not possible to properly follow the path of pure devotional service. What we associate with, we become like that. That is the law of nature. Srila Prabhupada would tell us, if you put iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. Due to association with the fire, it becomes of the same quality as fire. If you put the same iron rod in ice, it will become ice cold. So what we associate with, we become like that. The process of purification is to associate with what is pure. Krishna is non-different than his name. By associating with Krishna, we become purified. By hearing his glories, we become purified. And the association of devotees is that place where Krishna's names, Krishna's glories are always being discussed. Where Krishna's service is always being the priority over all other things. So what is a sadhu? A sadhu is one who exhibits the qualities of tolerance, patience, a person who is actually compassionate to other living beings. A sadhu is one who is always immersed, addicted to Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked, how do we know who is a great devotee? He said, a person who is addicted to Krishna, who loves to talk about Krishna, who loves to think about Krishna. Whatever he does, he wants to do it for the pleasure of Krishna. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam dvaham. Lord Vishnu explained that because a sadhu has made me his life and soul, therefore the sadhu is my life and soul. Because a sadhu always keeps me in his heart, I always keep that devotee in my heart. Service to a sadhu is service to God. An offense to a sadhu is the greatest offense to God. That is Krishna's explanation. Prahlad Maharaj, he was sadhu, even though he was a little 5-year-old boy. And later on he became king. He was married with family. He was sadhu. Sadhu is not a question of how we look. It is not by shaving head or growing matted locks. It is not by wearing particular robes or wearing nothing. Sadhu is a state of consciousness. Sadhu is one who is expressing love for Krishna through one's words and actions. That is sadhu. Prahlad Maharaj told his father, when his father asked him, what is the best thing that you learned in school? He told him that to hear and chant the glories of Krishna by following the 9 processes of devotional service, one can attain the goal of life. There's one beautiful verse wherein Prahlad Maharaj describes that unless one takes the dust of the feet of those devotees who are no longer attached to material life and gives himself an abhishekam, a bath in the dust of that feet, no one can become delivered from material illusion. No one can attain real Krishna consciousness. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paeche Keva. Srila Narottam Das Thakur explained in this way, no one can understand Krishna without serving the Vaishnavas, devotees. So this is repeated in the scriptures through various verses and through various stories again and again and again. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke a verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted so many hundreds of times. Sadhu sanga sarva sastra koi, lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi koi. That there is no wealth greater than one moment's association with a pure devotee of the Lord. Because that one moment can open the doors to liberation and bring about the ultimate goal of life. Therefore, we find great souls, that's what they pray for. Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was offered any benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anything, he could have asked for the wealth of Indra, residence in the heavenly planets. He could have asked for kingdom over all the world, long life, good health. He could have asked for liberation or elevation to the spiritual world. But he only wanted one benediction, to be in the association of devotees. He said, let me become a dog. Let me become a dog or even an insect in the house of your devotee. Then I will get the remnants of his food, his maha maha prasad. Let that birth be mine. Again and again and again. To the degree we actually value and understand the great benediction of association with great devotees, to that degree we will really advance in Krishna consciousness. Many examples are given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shivananda Sen, a dog became attached to him. And he showed affection to the dog. And within a few days, that dog was directly sent to Vaikuntha by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of his association with the Vaishnava. Therefore, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he prays, dear Guru Maharaj, let me just be like a dog following behind you, crying out, Krishna, Krishna. Of course, the quality of a good dog is not that he just follows behind the master, but he carries out the order of the master. The dog says, the master says, sit, he sits. Tumito Thakur, Tomara Kukur. Bhakti Vinod prays like this. Let me be always at your service. There's a very nice story, which I would like to narrate, which shows the glory of the association of a devotee. People aspire for wealth, for health, for the various things in this world. But here the Prachetas are describing that all the wealth and all the universes and all creation does not equal in value to one moment's association with a devotee. Why is that? Because what ultimately do you get? Everything in this world is temporary. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Everything will ultimately bring you misery. Your body, your loved ones, your wealth, your prestige, your position. Because it will all be taken away. Either in this life or at the time of death. And even while you have these things, there's so much fear and anxiety over somehow or other maintaining it, protecting it. facilitating it. Material acquisition brings frustration. However, in the association of devotees, we get Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. In the association of devotees, we understand how to know Krishna, how to serve Krishna, and ultimately how to love Krishna. Loving Krishna is the purest natural state of the heart. In that, Bilva Mangala Thakur described that even mukti, liberation, is an insignificant byproduct of loving Krishna. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prasantatma koteshu bhimahamuni. Out of many, many persons who have achieved the mystic cities, out of many, many people who have achieved liberation, very rare to find one person who's actually a Narayana Parayana, a real devotee of Narayan. That person is the only one who's actually peaceful because he is without selfish desires, without ego. That person has actually attained the position of the pure soul. So there is no real peace, there is no happiness except in pure unalloyed devotional service. And where do we get pure unalloyed devotional service? Just like there are manufacturers, they will not sell directly on retail level to the consumers. They have their distributors. You cannot approach them directly. You must go to their distributors. Krishna has originated this system. You cannot approach Krishna directly in this material world for liberation of the highest sense. Krishna has given the authority. He has given the exclusive rights to distribute prema bhakti to his devotees, to those devotees who have surrendered their lives in his loving service. They are empowered. They are authorized to give Krishna prema, the ultimate goal. It is the greatest benediction of Krishna upon us when he gives us the association of his devotees. Because that association is the door to liberation. The Lord explains, Mahatsevam dvaram ahur bhuktes tamodvaram yoshita sangi sangam. Association with materialistic people who are too much attached to money, to the opposite sex, to prestige, that association opens the doors to hellish sufferings. But association and service with the Mahats, with the great devotees of the Lord, opens the doors to the highest liberation. Even a moment's association can awaken that inclination toward the ultimate goal of life. Srila Prabhupada, he was flying from one country to the next. He happened to stop in Fiji. Didn't even get out of the airport, just changed flights. Happened to meet a person in the waiting lounge, preached to him for just a few minutes, and that person became a devotee and started a whole project in Fiji. Hare Krishna. Wherever Prabhupada went, he was rescuing people's lives. People who had no conception of what was right or what was wrong. No idea of what is God, what is the soul. People who didn't even have any sense of what is morality or ethic. Malechas, yavanas.
but just by that association, sometimes even for a few moments, those persons became of the highest quality, highest character of transcendentalists. That is the power of the dust at the feet of a Vaishnava. It is said that a moment association is more valuable than anything in this world. Lava Matra is translated as moment. Actually, a lava means 1/12 of a second. That amount of association of a devotee is more valuable than everything in creation. Srila Prabhupada explains how anyone who comes in contact with a devotee becomes eternally benefited. According to how they reciprocate with that association determines how quickly their benefit is actually manifested. Everyone is benefited. Even if someone is critical of a devotee, that person who criticizes devotee has to suffer the reaction. But ultimately, he's been given the favor of the Lord by suffering that reaction. And ultimately, that person is fortunate. Any association with a devotee, anyone who sees a devotee, anyone who hears a devotee, somehow or other, their devotion, their innate natural quality begins to awaken. According to how we reciprocate and how we follow the instructions of that devotee and follow in the footsteps, that will determine whether our destination of life is achieved in this life or in many lives in the future. But to initiate, to begin the process of spiritual awakening, which takes place even with 1/12 of a second of the association of devotee, is actually more valuable than anything and everything in creation. Srila Prabhupada explains, the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, opening centers all over the world, is simply to facilitate the people in general to have the chance to associate with devotees. That is the purpose of New Vrindavan. It is supposed to be a holy place. Bhagavatam describes that one who goes to a holy place simply to take bath is like an asura cow. Doesn't have a proper human intelligence. The purpose of going to a holy place is to associate with the holy people in that place, to hear from them, to nourish and revive our consciousness. A yatra, a pilgrimage, is not simply like a vacation to Disneyland, where we go to enjoy as an outing. Of course, it's better to go to a holy place, even if that is your motive. But the real reason we should come to holy places is to associate with holy people, to hear from them, to learn the art of life according to the Gita, the Bhagavad, to receive the mercy of Krishna. In India, there are so many temples with beautiful ancient deities. But rarely does anybody know really how they're supposed to approach the deity or who the deity really is. Acharya Upashanam, one who approaches Acharya knows things as they are. By seeing through the eyes of great souls, by hearing, Prabhupada said we should see through our ears When we see the deities, we should actually not be seeing with our eyes. We should be seeing with our ears what the great personalities are saying on the authority of the scriptures, what they are saying. Who is God? What is the deity? Who is the deity? How we're supposed to approach him? What is the purpose of the deity coming to this world, and what is our purpose of coming before him? When we approach the beautiful Archamurti in this sense, then we actually get real benefit, the greatest benefit. Otherwise, we come, we pray for some material benediction. We really don't know who we're really praying for or to. We offer a little donation and go. That's very nice. That's something. That's beneficial. But that is not the process given in the scriptures. Association with devotees, hearing from them, serving them, seeing them, how they are living. That is where the real truths of the Vedas are revealed. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said that you can study Vedas for millions of lives and never come to the proper conclusion. Only by seeing and understanding a pure devotee, by witnessing a pure devotee's life and hearing from them, then we can actually understand the real essence and conclusions of the Vedas. There's actually no other way. Mahajano yena katasa panta, by following in footsteps of great souls. This narration I was about to speak is very instructive about the glories of the association of devotees. This took place in the eastern part of Bengal, near the Padmavati River, about 400 years ago. There was a great Vaishnavacharya named Narottam Das Thakur. And he was living with another great devotee named Ramchandra Kaviraj, who happened to be a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur's very dear friend, Srinivasacharya. They were living together in a village called Keturi Gram. Now, one day, two of their very dear associates had just returned from Vrindavan and was giving them a report about how Janava Devi sent the deity of Radha Thakurani to be installed besides Gopinath, and how there was such a grand festival, and the devotees of Vrindavan, the Brijavasis, and the Bengali sadhus, they were so very, very much blissful celebrating the union of Radha and Krishna in the temple. Narottaman and Ramchandra were very happy to hear, and they decided now we should go to take our baths. So they were going to the river Padmavati, and there they saw two small boys. These boys had a herd of very young cubs, goats, buffaloes, and sheep. They were herding them. So Narottam Das Thakur said to Ramchandra Kaviraj, "These young boys, I could see that they have such potential devotion. Let us attract them." So they just began to discuss amongst themselves the glories of pure devotional service and the opulences of Krishna. They were speaking amongst themselves in such a way that these young boys could overhear them. They became attracted. Just by hearing, just by seeing these devotees and hearing them talking about Krishna, they became attracted. So they came forward. Narottam Das Thakur asked them who they were. They introduced themselves. One was Hari Rama and the other was Ramakrishna. They said, "We are the sons of a very, very powerful, influential Brahmin named Shivai Acharya. Shivai Acharya, our father, he is a devotee of the goddess Bhavani. And this time of the year, Vijayadashami, he sacrifices hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of animals to goddess Bhavani with the hope of attaining the heavenly planets and getting great wealth and distinction in this world. So that is our mission. We have been brought here to purchase all these young sheep, goats, and buffaloes, to bring them back to our father. And in a few days, when the festival begins, he will sacrifice their blood and their flesh to goddess Bhavani. But now that we have heard from you, now that we are seeing you, we are thinking, maybe we shouldn't do this." They understood that cruelty to other living beings is, even in the name of religion, is sinful. They said, "Just by seeing you, just by hearing you talk about Krishna, we don't want to go home. We want to be with you." So Narottam Das Thakur, Ramchandra Kaviraj said, "These nice little baby buffalo, sheep, and goats, let them free." So they let them free. Then they came back to the temple in Kethuri. Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj instructed them in the science of pure devotional service. Then there was Harinam Sankirtan. And the little boys were dancing and singing in ecstasy of love. After some time, Hari Ram took initiation from Ramchandra Kaviraj, and Ramakrishna took initiation from Narottam Das Thakur. They remained with them for some weeks, just learning about how to perform Sankirtan and learning the philosophy of pure devotional service from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the literatures of the Goswamis. After Vijayadashami had passed, they decided we should go home to see our father. So father was very angry. He was waiting. You know, he was waiting for all these goats, sheep, and buffaloes to sacrifice. They didn't come. So the children came without anything. First they went to meet their father's teacher, Balaram Kaviraj. He was a Brahmin, and he heard. They explained to him about the science of pure devotional service. And just by Balaram Kaviraj was a very, very highly learned teacher and Brahmin. Just by his associating with these two young boys, he became converted and understood that there is nothing greater than pure unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then they went before their father. He said, "Where were you? Where are all the animals? What nonsense are you doing?" They told him that we met this great devotee named Narottam Das Thakur, Ramchandra Kaviraj. And now we have become Vaishnavas. We have become devotees of Krishna. So the father, very, very powerful man, he was outraged. "You have offended the goddess Bhavani. You have not given her her rightful share of animals to be slaughtered." And now you are comparing a Vaishnav, a devotee of Krishna, to a worshiper of the goddess. This is a great offense. You will have to go to hell for this offense. What is this nonsense? Vaishnavas are just sentimental fools. And you are sentimental fools. You have been duped. You have been brainwashed. This bad association has ruined your life. You don't know anything. Any Vaishnav who comes before the pundits of my court will be refuted and defeated on the basis of scripture. The little boy, Hari Rama, he said, Father, don't you speak like that about the Vaishnavas. Bring me before your court of pundits. I will defeat them all. Father became even more angry. He marched his two children right into the court of the greatest pundits of the kingdom. And they had a debate. Every point the pundits made, these little children totally defeated them. This was too much. The pundits just turned to the father, said, Vaishnavas are very great, what can we say? And they just went home. The father became more infuriated. He went and called the greatest of the scholars, a Digvijay pundit, a man who traveled all over the world conquering other people in debate. His name was Murari. He was from the holy place of Mithila. Mithila happens to be the place where Sita and Ram were married. Very, very high seat of learning in India. So Murari came on the request of Shivai Acharya, specifically to have debate. So Balaram Kaviraj and the two little children, they had a very ferocious debate with Murari, and Murari was defeated, completely defeated. This man Murari, because he would do all these championship debate competitions, he had such incredible wealth and fame and prestige. But he was defeated so totally, he was so humiliated in his defeat, that he gave away all of his possessions, he even gave away his shoes, and just became a barefooted beggar. And made it in such a way that nobody even knew who he was for the rest of his life. That is to the degree he was defeated. When this happened, Shivai Acharya, the father, he was so angry. He was so frustrated. He was so heartbroken. He was actually at the verge of death. And at that point, he realized the greatness of his children. And in his heart, he realized he made great offenses and begged forgiveness for those offenses. One day, Ramakrishna and Hari Rama were on the bank of the Ganga in a place called Gamvili. That was a place of very, very great learned scholars. And amongst all the learned scholars there, who were very high qualified Brahmins, the person who was considered foremost was named Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti just happened to see Hari Rama and Ramakrishna. He just saw them. Just how they were acting, how they were speaking. His heart was transformed. This man was a very, very proud scholar. In those days in India, the greatest sport was debate. Because now it's basketball and football, or in India it's cricket. But in those days, basketball, football, cricket were not considered very important. But if a person was good at debate, he was world famous. And such a person became infatuated with pride. So that was the condition of Ganga Narayan. He was such an incredible scholar. And along with his knowledge, his ego also grew. He happened to be sitting And he saw Hari Ram and Ram Krishna. Just by seeing them, his heart was transformed. He was thinking, look at their qualities. They're just young people. What were they before? I used to see them before. They were just ordinary, playful Brahmin boys. Now, they're like acharyas. How is it possible? It's because they associated with Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj. Look at how their life is full of such meaning and bliss, such love. Ganga Narayan was thinking, I have wasted my entire life in the pursuit of mundane knowledge. All my interpretations of the scriptures have simply left me frustrated. Now it's all revealed when I see them. My only hope in life for any real meaning or purpose is I must do what they have done. Get the shelter of the feet of Narottam Das Thakur upon my head. These conclusions came just by seeing these devotees for a few moments. Sadhu sanga, sarva sastre koi. Lava matra, sadhu sanga, sarva siddhi hoy. It is the conclusion of all the scriptures that there is nothing more valuable in all of creation than a single moment's association with a sadhu. So he approached them, Hari Ram and Ram Krishna. He approached them with great humility and respect. And they said, if you are fortunate, Narottam Das Thakur will come and he will give you his mercy. So that night, Ganga Narayan went to sleep and Narottam Das Thakur appeared to him in a dream and told him, tomorrow I will come. And we will speak together. Go to take your bath in the Ganga. So first thing in the morning, he went to the Ganga to take his bath. And coming over the hill, right to the bathing ghat where he was, came Narottam Das Thakur. He fell at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur and surrendered his life. Narottam Das Thakur said, I have some service to be performed. Tomorrow come to Khetri, where my temple is. He met him there. There he heard Narottam Das Thakur speak the pure teachings of devotional service. And he also saw the beautiful Sankirtan of the Vaishnavas. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was weeping. I'm so proud. How I wasted my life. Please forgive me and give me shelter. Narottam Das Thakur initiated him. This was really the talk of the town. Because Narottam Das Thakur was not a Brahmin. He was of the Kayasta class. And in those days, for a Brahmin to take diksha from someone who wasn't a Brahmin was scandalous due to this sentimental, perverted conception of caste consciousness. Real Varnashram Dharma is based on quality, not birth. So this really shook up the Brahmin community. That Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, the foremost of all Brahmins, has taken initiation from a lower class person? Unbelievable. So nearby there was this was all within the kingdom of a great king called Narasingha. Now, the great pundits and scholars who were Brahmins, when they heard about this, they were disgusted and outraged. They went directly to the king because they were personally the pundits of the king. They said, Maharaj, you are king. It is your duty to maintain and protect Dharma. The most adharmic
activity has just taken place. This non-Brahman person is initiating Brahmins. This will be the damnation of our religion. You must protect. You must punish these people. You must expose them. This is not right.
So the king, he sent a letter to Narottam Das Thakur asking why he has done this. Narottam Das Thakur sent a very beautiful, humble, respectful letter back to the king, really based on nice scripture. So the king was charmed by the divine qualities of Narottam Das Thakur. But at the same time, he had all these caste Brahmin pundits who were so outraged. So it was decided that once and for all we will settle this. All the pundits will go on a procession, a royal procession, along with the king to Kethuri to have a debate with Narottam Das Thakur. And after he is defeated, then he will have to give up his nefarious activities, and he will have to admit that this conception of Vaishnavism is not proper. Or anyone can become an acharya if they have such qualities. So they went on this procession, and the greatest pundit in the court, his name was Rup Narayan. Rup Narayan said to the king, We should go. We should once and for all just finish off this Narottam Das Thakur, expose him and defeat him. So here is this procession of these great, great learned scholars, Rup Narayan and the king on a palanquin. The message came to Narottam Das Thakur. He was so kind. He just was... Let us give them a very gracious welcome. But two of his devotees, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra Kaviraj, they decided to spare Narottam Das Thakur from having to be challenged by these unfortunate people. So they went to the small village just outside of Kethuri. It was called Kumaragram. And Ganga Narayan put on real simple clothes of a merchant and set up a little shop to sell betel leaves. And Ramchandra Kaviraj, he put on the simple clothes of a merchant and he opened up a little shop selling clay pots. And they were just sitting there doing their selling, very just poor, simple merchants. So the great pundits, they told their students, there's some shop, buy us some betel leaves and some clay cups. So little students, one of the students who were also very scholarly, they asked, how much is this? In the local Bengali language. And the merchants quoted the price in perfect Sanskrit. No merchants knew perfect Sanskrit. They couldn't understand. Where did you learn the Sanskrit? Oh, we learned from our Guru Maharaj, Narottam Das Thakur. And the students, Narottam Das Thakur, just a low-class, sentimental person. He's not qualified. So they got in a debate, and the students were completely defeated by the merchants. So they went back to their teachers, the great scholars, pundits, and said, these merchants are really learned. I don't know if you want to face Narottam Das Thakur. You should first test it out by having a debate with... We were defeated by these merchants. And the pundits, what? Defeated by merchants, low-class people, disciples of Narottam? Show us where they are. They went there like raging fire with
boxes of scriptures. They had cartloads of scriptures that they were carrying with them to give Shastric evidence. And Ganga Narayan and Ramchandra Kaviraj just sitting on the ground with a little cloth with some betel leaves and clay pots. They were very calmly, very humbly, just defeating every point that they made. The king, Narasingha, and Rupa Narayan watched this. The pundits were completely defeated. They were so defeated that they went to hide. They couldn't even face the king or anyone else. They were hiding. So the king said to Rupa Narayan, "Are you sure you want to debate Narottam Das Thakur when even the insignificant betel leaf sellers of his kingdom can defeat the greatest of our pundits? You really want to debate him?" Rupa Narayan said, "No, I'm not going to debate him. There's no way I can't." The king said, "I think we should surrender to him." Rupa Narayan said, "Yes, we have to surrender to him. Tomorrow morning we will go to Khetri and surrender." Meanwhile, the leader of all the pundits, he was so ashamed of being defeated by these merchants. He was bewildered. He went to sleep. And that night, his worshipable deity, the goddess Bhavani, appeared to him. Her eyes were red like fire coals. She was angry, and she held a sword in her hand. And she said, "You rascal, you fool. You have offended the Vaishnavas. You have made an offense to the devotees of the Lord. You say that you want to satisfy me? Well, I will tell you what will satisfy me. When I cut your head off with this sword, that will satisfy me. You offender." Poor person was trembling in his dream. He said, "After I kill you, I will send you to hell." That was her message to him. She said, "You have only one salvation. You have to surrender at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur and become his servant." So he woke up and he was trembling. And all together they went to Khetri Gram, and they all went to the temple of Lord Gauranga. There they saw the devotees singing and chanting in kirtan. Then they came to meet Narottam Das Thakur. They fell at his feet, begging for his mercy, begging, "Accept us as your servants." Narottam Das, they all admitted, confessed their sinful ambitions. They wanted to destroy him. Narottam Das Thakur picked each one of them up and embraced them. Then he said, "You should all take prasad." So prasad was arranged, and they all took prasad together with Narottam Das Thakur. After taking their baths, they had prasad. Then he arranged very nice residential quarters for them. He treated them with such humility, with such respect. He was so forgiving. And after some days of hearing the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam from the literatures of the Goswamis, and after learning the science of Harinam Sankirtan, they all accepted initiation from Narottam Das Thakur. Then the king Narasingha sent for his wife, Rupavali, and she came and she accepted initiation from Narottam Das Thakur. And in this way, the whole kingdom became Vaishnavas. How was it possible? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastra Koi. Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. The power of the association of devotees. In the parampara of Lord Chaitanya, Narottam Das Thakur and others,
Srila Prabhupada has come to give us his association. And we should understand when we associate with a great Vaishnava, we're not associating simply with a human being. Although the person may have the body of a human being, that person is manifesting the association of all the great acharyas. This is parampara. Disciplic succession means in the current representative, we are receiving the blessings, the mercy, and the association of all the previous acharyas. We are associating with Lord Chaitanya himself, who is Radha and Krishna. Therefore, we pray Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Sastraya. That although the spiritual masters are not God himself, God is flowing through them. The grace of God, the association of God is flowing through their hearts into our lives. And therefore we treat the great souls as if they were God. Because factually God is reciprocating. He is manifesting himself and he is receiving our love through the agency of his devotees. The Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is story after story after story of the power of the association of devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, his whole life was transformed just by hearing from Narada Muni within the womb of his mother. He became such a Vaishnav. So our spiritual lives, in truth, very much depend in how much we have faith in this verse that we are reading today. Tulayama lavenapi nasvargam napunarbhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashisha. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any questions? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu.
We hear a lot about the pure devotees. Who is an impure devotee?
Who is an impure devotee?
How can we tell a pure from the impure?
We must understand scriptures. Prabhupada explains there are two types of pure devotees. One is that person who is completely free of all material desires and whose heart is saturated with love of Krishna. And another is a person who is aspiring for that pure devotion and who is following by proper means the process by which he can attain that. That is also a pure devotee. So it takes one to know one. With our vision, it's very difficult for us to understand really what is deeply within a person's heart. But we can see with our eyes, we could hear with our ears. If a person is genuinely repeating the words of the great acharyas and the scriptures, if what he is speaking is pure, without speculation or adulteration, and that person is following the regulative principles and following the process of bhakti honestly and sincerely, then we can understand that this person's association can elevate me and bring me back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Is there any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Like someone would say that you cannot approach God directly, distributor, which is, let's say, the
Because the demigods, they distribute material benedictions on behalf of God. The acharyas deliver pure unalloyed devotion. They are both distributors. Surya can provide good health. Parvati can provide good husband, wife. Indra could provide great wealth. So the various demigods provide various material facilities on behalf of the Lord. That's what they are doing. But only those pure devotees, those acharyas, they are authorized as the exclusive distributors of pure devotional service, prema bhakti. And there are some demigods who can give that, but you have to ask that from them. But you can't understand that, even that, unless you go through an acharya. Yes. He didn't necessarily say we should not associate, but he said we should always remain faithful to our parampara. We can associate with great souls. Ramanuj Sampraday, Nimbark Sampraday. But we should remain faithful to the Siddhanta of our own parampara. That is, every parampara will teach that.
Right, so how do you relate to great souls from another parampara?
With great respect and honor. With great respect and honor, we should approach them. But you see, the Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara, we accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission of giving the highest substance of Vrindavan Leela, the Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. It is a higher realm of consciousness, a more intimate level of love of God than that of Vaikuntha. So our acharyas are giving this gift. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pratayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauradveshe Nama. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is most munificent, most merciful of all avatars, because he's giving what no one has ever given. He's given freely to anyone and everyone without discrimination, the highest entrance into the Raganuga pastimes, into the Raganuga Leela. The Ragatmika Leela of Radha and Krishna. Through the process of following in the footsteps of great purified souls. So the acharyas of our parampara are giving us connection to that. And therefore we should be very faithful and very grateful to that. But of course, wherever we see any truly, genuinely religious person, not only of any religion, we should give them all respect and honor. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. We have have to make priorities. The tendency is that we make priorities what we can see immediate, tangible, sensual results. You work a few hours, you get paid so much money. Yes, you see the result. You go to school for a few years, you get your degree. You see a result. Spiritual life, we cannot always perceive the result in such a materially gross, tangible way. So therefore, we make the material things in life priorities. I should work for money, money, money. I should work for position, position, position. I should get this enjoyment and that enjoyment. And I'll do a little bhakti on the side. Because really, I can't really see anything really happening there. I just, somehow I have faith that something must be happening. So this is the delusion of material energy. Is we start to think that the temporal things of this world are of greater relevance and value than the eternal treasure of the spiritual world. That is why we must have the association of devotees. When we associate with devotees and we hear the scriptures, when you read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly, you're constantly reminded, what is the nature of the material world? What is the nature of the soul? And what is actually the goal of life? And whatever we do in our occupation or in our social responsibilities should be done in such a way that it is harmonious to making progress toward the ultimate goal of life. So you have many responsibilities, but don't put your responsibility to God less than any other responsibility. You may have to work to make money, that's a responsibility. You may have to spend time with family, that's responsibility. But chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing the glories of the Lord, associating with the devotees of the Lord, living a pure and honest life, those are your eternal responsibilities. All the other things are temporary responsibilities. So we have to see it in that perspective and use our intelligence. Once we understand the value, we have good association, then we see everything in its proper perspective. Then we can use our intelligence to make a balance. We should chant the holy name of the Lord every day according to a vow. We should hear the scriptures every day according to a vow. We should come and meet devotees, associate with devotees, serve devotees as much as possible as a priority. And our occupation and all of our other social responsibilities have to be coordinated on that, not the opposite. We shouldn't coordinate our spiritual needs around our material needs. We should coordinate our material needs around our spiritual needs. They should be adjusted according to our spiritual needs. Because Krishna is in our heart. And he's seeing what your priorities are. Yegatamam prapadyante. He will reciprocate according to how he sees your sincerity. If you're putting everything else in front of him, you'll get everything else. You won't get him. If you put him in front of everything else, that doesn't mean you neglect other things. That means you integrate every aspect of your life with your devotion. Does that answer your question? That is actually what real civilization is. When we integrate our spiritual values in every aspect of our life. Not that we have our occupation, we have our families, and then we have a little compartment, a little separate compartment where our bhakti is. That's better than no compartment at all. But that is not human intelligence. The real value of human intelligence is that everything is within the compartment of bhakti. And everything should be orchestrated, organized according to that priority. Make the home a temple. Live at home according to spiritual principles. Work for your occupation in an honest way in order to facilitate and provide for the service of God within your family, within society at large. In order to do that, in order to have that proper intelligence, we have to have association of devotees. Because the nature of Maya is she's always deluding and tempting us away from those things that are actually eternal and spiritual. You have this experience? We're always being infatuated and complicated by the various conditions in our environment to drag us away from God and deeper and deeper and deeper into material motivation. But the association of devotees, we hear. If we have good sadhana at home, we're reading, listening to proper tapes of Prabhupada and other great souls, then we're always being reminded. We're able to readjust our perspectives again with Krishna in the center. For a grihastha, spiritual advancement is very much dependent on how we organize our priorities in life and adjust our life according to our priorities. And for that, association of devotees is very important. In traditional India, the sadhu would beg door to door, not because he needed food, because the person giving food needed the food of association. This is described by Nanda Maharaj. When Garga Muni came to beg from him, he said, "You great Brahmins, you great Vaishnavas, you beg door to door just to give us your association, to give us transcendental knowledge." In traditional society, I have seen. Sometimes I was doing Madhukari years ago in India, and people would invite you into their house and ask you to speak about the truth. Then they would give you some rotis. So that is the need of the grihasthas. Nanda Maharaj said, he was speaking on behalf of the world. He said, "Unless sadhus like you come to our homes, then we become so much entrenched and distracted by materialistic considerations. We need you to remind us of what our real purpose and goal of life is." So if we have good association and we have good sadhana, then everything will be seen in its proper perspective. And then our life will actually be fulfilling. Every aspect of our life will be fulfilling because it has an eternal purpose. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.